The Chinese Madame Curie, the Queen of Nuclear Physics, the First Lady of Physics, the Queen of Physics. These titles reflect the critical importance of this woman's theory of beta decay, a type of radioactive disintegration, and her laboratory proof of the unnecessity of the conservation of parity. Her name is Chen Xiongwu. Welcome to this episode of the Whistling Woman podcast, which explores the historical contributions and legacies of women from around the world. Our theme this season is The Way of Progress, which shares the stories of five women who made significant contributions to math and science. As much as possible, the women will tell their stories in their own words. My name is Samantha Schmelick, and I am your guide. Born near Shanghai, China, in 1912, Chen Xiongwu benefited from having a father who believed in women's education. Wu Zongyi was an engineer who in 1911 abandoned that profession to take part in the revolution that overthrew the Manchu dynasty. He and his wife, Fan Huhua, founded Mingdi School, the first school for girls in the Shanghai area. By 1923, after Wu had learned everything at her parents' school, she attended the Suzhou No. 2 Women's Normal School in the city of Suzhou. She earned a bachelor's degree studying physics and math at the National Central University in Nanjing in 1936. Opportunities for a woman to study physics in 1930s China were limited. Wu moved to America in 1936 and planned to earn her doctorate at the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor. After disembarking in San Francisco, Wu visited a friend in Berkeley and toured the physics lab at the University of California, Berkeley. While there, she met Ernest Lawrence, a Nobel laureate, the inventor of the cyclotron, and director of nuclear research at Berkeley. Lawrence was so impressed with Wu that he instantly recruited her for Berkeley. Wu earned her doctorate at the University of California, Berkeley in 1940. Her advisor was Emilio Segre, who had worked with Enrico Fermi researching the properties of radioisotopes produced by neutron irradiation. Wu's doctoral thesis studied the fission products of uranium. Her identification of two Xe isotopes and their lifetime and decay properties earned her wide recognition and led to her later recruitment for the Manhattan Project. As World War II began, Americans did not distinguish between Chinese or Japanese. Anti-Asian hysteria led to the creation of Japanese internment camps. For Wu, the anti-Asian hysteria denied her a permanent job at the University of California, Berkeley. So after receiving her doctorate, she taught at Smith College, but was hindered by that institution's lack of significant research facilities. Princeton University hired her in 1943, but they also lacked the laboratory facilities she needed for her work. Columbia University became her permanent career home after Wu was recruited for the Manhattan Project to build the first atomic bomb in 1944. At Columbia, Wu met professors Xiang Dao Li and Chen Ning Yang. They were working on a theory about conservation of parity, partly inspired by Wu's prior beta decay studies. Li and Yang theorized that particles in the subatomic world have different rules than particles in the everyday world, overturning what was thought to be a fundamental law of physics, the conservation of parity. They turned to Wu, a brilliant experimentalist, to prove that theory. Indeed, her 1956 lab experiments with colleagues at the Bureau of National Standards proved that particles in the subatomic world have different rules than particles in the everyday world. The conservation of parity was no more. When the 1957 Nobel Prize in Physics was awarded, Sung Dao Li and Chen Ningyang were the winners. Wu, who laid the groundwork for the theory and subsequently proved the theory, was not included in the prize. Playwright and author Claire Booth Luce noted at the time, quote, "When Dr. Wu knocked out the principle of parity, she established the principle of parity between men and women. When Wu was named Woman of the Year by the American Association of University Women New York chapter, she said, quote, "This is probably the first time that the award has been given not for establishing a law, but for overthrowing it," end quote. Wu's brilliance in the lab may have overshadowed her theoretical work early in her career, but she believed that, quote, "Science and technology should help each other and march hand in hand," end quote. Her experiments overturning the conservation of parity were referred to and revisited over the ensuing decades as the physics community explored their implications. Wu said in 1963, quote, "Lots of progress has been made since then, but no one knows where it will lead. It's something like asking young Albert Einstein back in 1906 what possible use could be made of his complicated formula, E equals mc squared. It took 35 years for the answer in the first nuclear pile that was built under Staff Field in Chicago," end quote. After working on the Manhattan Project, Chen-Sheng Wu continued researching beta decay, specifically why Enrico Fermi's theory of beta decay was not borne out in scientific experiments. Wu proved that a uniform base material was necessary to prove Fermi's theory. She successfully measured the low-energy electrons emitted by beta decay, which provided the experimental evidence needed to prove Fermi's theory of weak interactions in the nucleus. Enrico Fermi, a renowned physicist himself, had asked Wu for help diagnosing a problem with his nuclear fission experiments in 1942. Actually, Fermi was told by colleagues to ask Miss Wu when he couldn't figure out the substance that was halting his nuclear fission reactions. Wu figured out that a rare gas was the cause, and Fermi could continue his work. In 1958, she was named a full professor at Columbia University and continued her work in beta decay. Her textbook, aptly named Beta Decay, published in 1965, became a standard reference book for nuclear physicists. Her beta decay work led Wu to investigate the radiations of so-called exotic atoms, atoms in which one or more subatomic particles have been replaced by other particles of the same charge, using then-new techniques like the Mossbauer effect. Wu was able to investigate the structure of hemoglobin in sickle cell anemia. Leon Ledefsky, one of Wu's graduate students, said of her, quote, "Professor Chen-Sheng Wu was often characterized as the premier woman physicist of her time. She was one of the premier physicists of her time, man or woman, an experimentalist whose experiments had the quality of aiming directly at the crux of the question. She was best known nationally and internationally for one particular experiment, the experiment to demonstrate, unambiguously and definitively, that the previously held and fundamental assumption that parity is conserved in weak nuclear forces was not valid. However, it is important that I state that that experiment was not a one-shot fling. Well before then, she had made many substantial and significant contributions to nuclear physics. She had already earned recognition as an outstanding experimental physicist, and in the years that followed, she continued to make important contributions." Wu was acutely aware of the obstacles faced by women in society, in academia, and in physics. Her early education in China was a revolutionary act by her family. In the 1930s, she was chosen by her fellow students as their leader, demonstrating against Chiang Kai-shek's government and warning against Japanese actions to destabilize China. She used the name C.S. Wu on her early scientific papers, hoping that a non-female name would improve her chances at publication. Her name, Chen Xiong, means conquering hero. Although her own brilliance enabled her to teach herself physics and math, she advocated for women's education, noting, quote, "It seems most unlikely that molecular structures or mathematical symbols have a sexual preference," end quote. In 1936, she met Luke Wan, who had also migrated to America to study physics. Both Wu and Wan were brilliant physicists and believers in democracy. They married in 1942 and had one son in 1947. She later remarked that a woman seeking a career in the sciences needs an understanding husband and, quote, "to live closely to her work and have someone whom she knows will look after her children well," end quote. After World War II, Wu and Yuan were invited to return to China as professors at the Chinese National University. The rise of communism concerned them. They feared that they might not be able to visit the United States if they returned to China, so they remained in the United States. Wu did visit China in 1973 and again in 1977 as part of a delegation of Chinese-American physicists attending a Chinese Academy of Sciences event. She toured the country and visited her relatives. After her retirement in 1981, she dedicated herself to establishing educational programs and research facilities both in Taiwan and the People's Republic of China. In 2012, her father's school, the Mingdi School for Girls, celebrated its centennial. Wu's son, Vincent, attended the celebration. Later in her career, Wu received multiple prestigious awards like the National Medal of Science and the Wolf Prize in Physics. She was the first woman elected as president of the American Physical Society and the first woman to receive the Cyrus B. Comstock Award of the National Academy of Sciences. For Wu herself, her work was its own reward. Describing her experiments to a reporter, Wu said, quote, "There are moments of exaltation and ecstasy. A glimpse of this wonder can be the reward of a lifetime," end quote. Chen Xiong-Wu died in 1997. Her remains were interred in a memorial designed by her colleague, Sun Dao Li, and located on the grounds of Mingdi School. Learn more about Wu from the books and articles used to write this episode, which are in the show notes, available on our website, whistlingwomanpodcast.com. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Whistling Woman Podcast, which was written and narrated by Samantha Schmelick. This podcast is a Preston Argus production. Visit our website, Whistling Woman Podcast, for more information about today's episode and to share your thoughts. If you enjoyed this podcast, please tell your family and friends and follow us on your favorite podcatcher like Apple Podcasts. Rating us also helps spread the word. If you really enjoyed this podcast, please consider supporting us via our Patreon page. Details are available at our website, whistlingwomanpodcast.com. Goodbye until our next episode.